Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning. So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And you can hear us from anywhere online at 883wppb.org, on podcasts everywhere, and every show is archived at annliguori.com. Well, this morning's show comes from the PGA Merchandising Show in Orlando, Florida, where over 40,000 people in the golf business gather to meet and greet and show off the latest and greatest in the golf business. And this morning, we have a packed show for you. We chat with LPGA Commissioner Michael Wan. We talk to Kelly Brook, CEO, founder of Bethpage Group Golf, and named 2019 LPGA Professional of the Year. We also get acquainted with the excellent work that the U.S. Adaptive Golf Alliance does in helping golfers with disabilities. Mark Johnson and Tracy Raymond from the U.S. Adaptive Golf Alliance will join us. And then we check in with David Feaser and Nick Feaser chatting about the extreme clarity of the lens of Peak Vision sunglasses. And last but not least, my buddies from Ireland, John McLaughlin, Alan Maloney, and John Farron will all talk about golf in North and West Ireland. That's all coming up on the show this morning. Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and the New Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. And they're also producing golf items as well, ball markers, divot tools, all kinds of exciting memories in jewelry. DuneJewelry.com. And Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you in part by Peak Vision Sunglasses. Zero distortion, unmatched clarity. Change your game. Peak Vision, that's P-E-A-K, vision.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. My guest, Commissioner Mike Wan, LPGA. You've been busy, Michael.
It's been a busy week, for sure.
It's so good to catch up with you. I thought the tournament last week, the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions, was just brilliant. It was such a great showcase for the top players on the LPGA and celebrity sports and entertainment stars. And I just love the fact that the women were showcased with these athletes from other sports. I thought it was really a great idea. How did you see it, and did it work for you?
It was a home run in every aspect. Although Glavin told me stop using the term home run, but it was an awesome experience for us. We took the winners from the last 2 years. We joined together with celebrities from the sports world, from the music industry, from comedians, and we got to play together for 4 days. We put it on NBC on Saturday and Sunday. Had one of the largest crowds on the weekend we've seen at the LPGA in a long time. We had social media impressions that were larger than some of our majors. So it was really a great opportunity for some of these athletes to see our athletes and vice versa. It was a great way for us to kick off the season. And as you know, Ann, any event I can go to where I can drive home when it's over is a home run for me.
Exactly. I know what you're saying in that department. And I think you need a bigger media room next year, because I didn't have a radio booth, and I was interviewing Lydia Ko in between a photographer and a writer. But thank you, Mark, for making that happen. It's a great testimony to the popularity of that event, because I thought that you know there was so much media there.
It was really of the things we missed. The biggest was size of media room. We really had over 150 different media there. And what's really interesting is I originally walked in the media room and I thought it was going to be all about these athletes and stars, and people were there to see Toby Keith or there to see Reggie Jackson. But it was really an LPGA event with these other celebrities. So it was a great experience. It introduced our sport to a lot of casual fans, a lot of fans who maybe don't watch us week in and week out. NBC did a really nice job of capturing the vibe. I mean, it's the only event I've ever been to on the LPGA where you had to putt during the music. We didn't really use any quiet please signs. I was doing an interview and one of the media asked me, how do your players feel about trying to putt in the middle of like a Will Smith rap song? And I said, well, turn around and look at that player. And she was dancing on the 18th green when it wasn't her turn to putt. So I think our players embraced it well, and our fans got a real benefit.
And Tom Glavine was telling me, Commissioner, that he just so enjoys watching the pros on the LPGA play. He learns a lot from them. And he's really kind of driven and inspired by them. So even though Lydia was telling me how she was so psyched playing with, you know, some of these baseball stars, they were telling me they really wanted to play with the women because they learned so much from their swings.
I had a lot of baseball, basketball, and football players saying to me, how is it my tour player, who weighs 125 pounds, can hit it 45 yards past me? And these are, you know, these are pretty significant male athletes and, you know, into weightlifting. And I said, if I could figure that out, I'd be on tour too. So, I mean, we see it week in and week out. But it was really, it was nice to watch our athletes talking to other world-class athletes about things that they should talk about. Ari Jutanugar told me she had a conversation with people about pressure, like with Ray Allen, about fourth quarter pressure, her back nine pressure. How do you keep it controlled? How do you keep it one shot at a time when your mind is racing to what's going to be the score that wins? We heard people talking about prep. How do you eat? How do you sleep? How do you get ready for an event? A lot of the athletes, a lot of the other sports athletes were really interested to watch our players warm up. They wanted to know what's a proper professional warm up before an event. So I think there was a lot to be learned. And I think, as is always the case, world-class athletes usually only trust what other world-class athletes have experienced. And in this case, both athletes got to learn from each other.
Just a brilliant idea, and I know that is one of, what, a couple more events, new tournaments here with different formats that you've added. You have 34 events overall, $70 million in prize money, total prize money, and, you know, it's really become such a global tour.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. This year, 2019, we've had four new events on the schedule. One of them we just talked about at Diamonds Resorts we just played. But of those four new events, three of them are new formats that in women's golf we've never played before. So Diamond Resorts, playing with the celebrities in a tournament of champions, first ever for us. In a couple weeks, we'll be down in Australia playing in the Vic Open. 156 men, 156 women, same golf course, same prize money. We're splitting the purse equally. That's a first for us. We'll also add an event with Dow in Midland, Michigan this summer. It's called the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational, but it's a two-person team event. So two women from the LPGA going against, so there'll be 72 teams of two, like the Zurich Classic on the PGA Tour. So of the four new events we brought three that we've never played before. That's fun for the fans, fun for the commissioner, but most importantly, it's even fun for my members.
And it's so cool because of the depth of the LPGA right now. 26 different winners from 10 different countries, and you had in just 1 year, four different players ranked number one.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the Rolex top 15 in the world, they come from 10 different countries. And that's why when we play, it's a great hometown event, but we're televised in 175 countries a week. I always tell people that we're really just a small version of the Olympics. You're talking about a tour where the best in the world are all striving to get to in the prime of their career to figure out who's the best in the world. We put on hometown events, but we let the rest of the world watch. We had five majors last year, won by five different players who come from five different countries. We played in our first Olympics in 2016, three women on the podium from three different countries. So it's if you like the Olympics and you enjoy watching that experience, you'll enjoy the LPGA.
And the other thing is all these other leagues want to go global. So I'm sure you get phone calls from different sports organizations who are asking you, how do we do that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, my father used to say you can't be global from your desk. You got to go. And a lot of sports want to be global, but they want to be global from their desk. They just want the rest of the world to watch. They don't really want to commit to create fans. And so we play in 15 different countries. You know, we have players from 50 different countries. So we don't just want to sell our TV rights in Taiwan. We play in Taiwan. We have members of our tour from Taiwan. We have youth development programs happening in Taiwan. And I could say the same thing of Thailand or Singapore, or Hong Kong, Australia. It goes on and on. So you don't wake up with 175 countries wanting to televise you every week. You got to go commit to growing your brand. And I don't think a game in London once a year gets that done. You got to go if you want to be global.
Your 10th year as the commissioner of the LPGA, Commissioner Mike Wan, you've done so much in 10 years. What's your vision for the next 10?
Well, you know, it's threefold. I mean, first is we really want to take our sport, the LPGA, and make it bigger than just a golf property. Today, we're really lucky to be partnering with the Golf Channel. They produce 500 hours of TV that we send all around the world. But if we could spend half of our weekends on network TV and introduce our tour to a more casual fan, we'd be an even better partner to them. Second thing is we play for $70 million in total prizes. That's great when you think about we just came from $40 million a few years ago. But the reality of it is if we can get that number closer to $200 million, then the best 150, 300 golfers in the world can really make a quality living. That's not always the case today. That's something else we need to fix. And then the last thing is we need to continue to be committed to being a global sport. It's not only good for my business, it's not only good for my sponsors to be able to put a tournament on and showcase it around the world. It's good for golf. Right now, women's golf is growing virtually all around the world. By the way, nowhere faster than in the U.S., where 33% of youth golfers are women. I mean, our growth in women's golf among kids under the age of 18 is at a rate we have never seen before in golf. So I think being global is nice for my business, it's nice for my players, but more importantly, it's a responsibility to the sport. We're gonna make this game better by letting the rest of the world participate.
I like that perspective, but on the other side of the coin, we do want to see some Americans in there winning tournaments, and we want to see more tournaments here in this country, and sponsorship money is coming from the U.S. of A.
That's a great point, Ann. I always tell people that I've seen plenty of articles written that says, you know, Mike Wan, Mr. Global or Mr. Worldwide, and I say, if you look at the 10 years I've been here, for every event I've added overseas, I've added at least two in America. So we really committed to making sure that America was our base. We want to be like a lot of our sponsors. We want to be based somewhere. We want our players to move here, live here, play here. But we also want to make sure that our brand is worldwide. So, yes, it's true. I do believe in global. I do believe in worldwide distribution. But in the middle of all that, we put more events in America than in almost any time in 10 years in the LPGA history.
Personal info about your own game. Do you get a chance to play? I saw you played in the Pro-Am last week, and you're at the golf course occasionally at Eloqua Lakes, the Legacy Club. How's your own golf game, Commissioner?
Probably depends on who you ask. I mean, if you ask a casual fan, it's okay. If you ask one of my tour players, he's got a lot of work, and he's had a lot of work for 10 years. But I get to play a lot of golf 2 months a year, starting at Thanksgiving until about right now. And then when the season picks up, I become part of the Pro-Am tour. And you never have to hit your bad shot. I probably won't hit a bunker shot again until Thanksgiving next year. But Cheryl Anderson at the Bender Academy is my coach and my teacher. I see a lot of her for 2 months. Then I'm gone for 9 months. And then I come back again in November, and she looks at me and says, my gosh, what happened to you? And so my game, you know, gets interrupted by about 400 flights all around the world. But for 2 months a year, I get to play my own ball and have a lot of fun.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Let's hear it for the LPGA Commissioner, Michael Wan. Continued success, and we'll see you out on the links.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for the coverage. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, broadcasting from the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, Florida. Let's hear it for Orlando. It's good to see all of you here. I don't know how many years I've been here. It's way too many to count, but every year I meet new friends and see old friends. And a newer acquaintance is Kelly Brook, who, ladies and gentlemen, this woman is going to be honored later this afternoon as the LPGA Professional of the Year. Let's hear it for Kelly Brook.
Thank you, Ann.
She is the CEO and founder of Bethpage Golf Group, and I got to meet her at Bethpage. Anybody here from Long Island? They're going to host the PGA Championship, as you know, in May, and Kelly basically runs the show over at Bethpage, so I'm going to let Kelly tell you her story, and I'm so just delighted for you that you know, what a prestige honor, the LPGA Professional of the Year.
Thanks, Ann. Yeah, I've been a LPGA member actually twice now. I joined in the early 90s, kind of got distracted with owning multiple venues, golf venues, and then last year came back to the LPGA, and they recognized me for my 30 years of achievements, and it's just been a wonderful ride.
30 years, my goodness. So tell us what you're doing at Bethpage. I know you're not too involved with the PGA Championship, but you've gotten, you know, a lot. You have a lot of responsibilities at that incredible venue.
Great. Well, yes, it's a concession opportunity. So we have a contract for 20 years, and basically I operate the pro shop, the driving range, all the instruction, the cart operation, the caddies. I run everything except the actual golf course and the selling of tee times.
And when I was over there, UC Kelly, I think what Kelly is known for, one of the many things she's known for, are the junior programs that she runs. Tell us about the junior programs and how unique they are.
Well, our programs are very unique in the sense that we run it like a karate-type system where you have a belt system. So we have five levels, and we use the colors of the golf courses. So the easiest course at Bethpage is yellow. So you enter in on entry level on the yellow team, and you work your way up through green, blue, red, and black. Every single person in our program is doing golf performance. So we have TPI instructors. We have workouts twice weekly. We have on-course training. We do mental training with them with the goal of getting every single one of those children into an age-appropriate and ability-appropriate tournament by the middle of the summer.
What do you think you're most proud of at Bethpage and your history of teaching?
I mean, you know what I'm most proud of right now is they really didn't have an instructional program. They didn't have a junior program. They didn't have a women's program. They really didn't give a lot of lessons. And in the 1 year that we've been there, we've completely turned the whole attitude around. We're now known as a junior performance center. But we also have this incredible adult performance where we have the TPI instructors, and they're doing fitness workouts, and we're focusing on power. And it's a whole wellness program. We do fitness training. We do nutrition. It's an all-around golf improvement program, and it's a pretty cool program.
So tell us about your golf career, because I know you grew up in Iowa, and you were quite the junior player and then played golf at Iowa, right?
University of Iowa,
and then competed on the Futures Tour.
I did. I grew up in Iowa. I was lucky enough to have Butch Harmon was one of our family friends. My dad's here. He was a good friend of Butch's. And so I got a great foundation for the golf swing from Butch. Went to University of Iowa, was on the University World Cup team, all Big Ten, and then went on the Futures Tour and decided that the Futures Tour wasn't for me. It wasn't like that team environment where it was fun and it was camaraderie. It was, you know, very much on your own, not a great place to be. So I went to New Jersey and started giving golf lessons 29 years ago. And a couple years ago, I gave my 40,000th golf lesson, and I said, you know what? I kind of need a break from this. So I surfed for a couple years. I started a stand-up paddleboard company, and then I came back to it. And now I'm so enthused, and my vigor is back, and my commitment to golf is better than ever right now.
How do you add that 40,000 lessons? That's phenomenal.
Well, I mean, it was a lot of hard work, a lot of hours on the range. You know, it's funny because one half of my face aged, the other half didn't, because the sun was always on my left side. It was crazy. But it was well worth it, you know, and I started a lot of great programs in New York City. The New York City Junior Golf Club I developed a program for the Police Athletic League. So 4,000 kids a year taught how to play golf through that who are economically disadvantaged. And then we run the biggest program in the entire world for children with special needs. Each week we rotate 1,500 kids through that have special needs. They're in wheelchairs, they have cerebral palsy, they have Down syndromes, autism, anything that you can think of, and we teach 1,500 of them weekly in the summer. It's amazing.
You'll have to talk to the U.S. Adaptive Golf Alliance. They're going to be my guests in the next quarter hour here. But just everything you do, my gosh. And then you decided that you wanted to compete again. So you have to hear this story.
Well, you know what? I came back to the LPGA, and I hadn't competed in 29 years, and I was doing a lot of mental work. Debbie Cruz, an LPGA member, and she's a doctor, taught me the mental side of golf, and I said, you know what? It never goes away. It's like riding a bike, and now I have all these mental tools that I'm teaching everyone else. Let me jump back in and just see what happens. How bad could it be? I literally just turned 50 in April, and so I entered my first tournament as a senior. I was first alternate for the U.S. Open women's senior tournament, and then I said, well, if I'm playing Bethpage Black three times a week and walking it, I certainly can go play any course in the country. Started competing after the second day of the LPGA national tournament. I was in second place. Didn't finish in second place. I had a 9 on the second hole. That didn't help anything. But, you know, I was thrilled that I actually could come back and after 29 years compete. I mean, it was really mind-boggling. I was on the driving range, and I was walking past tour players going into the last round, and they're all turning around and looking at me, and one of them, Cindy Miller from, she's our section president, said, Brooke, I didn't know you could play golf. I said, Cindy, I didn't know I could either.
Well, definitely, if you're walking Bethpage three times a week, that's training enough. I mean, that is, you develop stamina, you know, and just the energy to do what these, you know, professionals do week in and week out. Talk about your experience at the Women's Senior Open.
Well, I didn't make it in, so I didn't go to it, no. But, you know, the women's golf, and I don't know if it's the Me Too era or we're finally getting a voice in golf. Yesterday on the forum stage, a majority of the speakers were women. In the past year, none of the speakers were women. So there's definitely a movement. The LPGA, Mike Wan was just on before you, is really developing a reputation as the leading experts in instruction. And we're finally finding a voice, and it's amazing. So this year was the first ever senior women's amateur open. It was a huge success. I hope to qualify this year, which means I'm going to miss the PGA Championship of my own course. But you know what? You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. So let's fast forward to this Professional of the Year award. What does it actually mean? I mean, this is quite the honor.
I mean, you know what? Let's face it. When I moved into Bethpage, I'm doing the same programming I've done for 29 years. It's just that now I'm not living in a vacuum. I'm not at a driving range in Manhattan or Staten Island or Brooklyn. I'm actually being seen by people. So my programs, everything that I've done for the last 29 years is actually being seen by people. So Bethpage has given me an opportunity to showcase what I've created and I've nurtured for all these years. It's just the most special place on earth. I can't even describe Bethpage. It really is truly the people's course. You cannot get a tee time. It doesn't matter how much you pay. You got to sleep in your car. You got to go through what everyone else goes through, and you can't just book an outing because we're not interested in money. We're interested in truly doing what's right for New York State residents. And the greenskeepers there have 5 courses, and they keep each one of them in prime condition. I don't know how they do it, but it truly is a very, very special place. I'm blessed, beyond blessed, to be there.
I have a story of my own with Bethpage, you know, doing the radio show on FAN all those years. And a lot of those years, I did the overnights on WFAN, Hey, LaGore, What's the Story show. And I would get callers who were waiting in their cars from Bethpage, and they'd want to talk sports and golf. And it was perfect for them. It just passed the time, and they came on my show. And, you know, so they would call me religiously every weekend from Bethpage, waiting for their tee times. And they had to get there by, what, 4, so they could get on the... Tell me the process. Is the process still like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed a little bit because the state got onto the system. People had systems. So landscapers would come in, or people that own bakeries would come in early in the morning, and they would sit in their cars, and people would come and pay them to sit in line for them. They'd go home and sleep and then come back when it was their turn. But you have to sometimes, before, we're going to open for 2 weeks before the PGA Championship. I guarantee you people are going to start lining up at 10 o'clock the night before because everyone wants to get in and play the course right before the championship.
Tell me, you have so many different successes through the years, but you know, if you could pinpoint one or two keys to your success, what would it be, Kelly?
I think that the key to anyone's success, if you want to grow quickly, is having a good support team. I have an incredible team. I've always had a great team. I gave a speech to the LPGA yesterday and about the importance of teams. And team could be your technology partners. It could be your sunglass partners. It could be anybody.
Peak Vision.
Little plug for Peak Vision. Definitely the best sunglasses on the market. We do. And so it's having a really solid team that makes up for your, I want to say issues, that's not the right term, but, you know, your deficiencies. You know, I have weaknesses like everyone else, and I have a great team that understands my weaknesses, and they fill in the gaps for me.
Well, as I told Dennis Walters earlier when I was doing an interview session with the USAGA, you know, the sky's the limit. He's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he's gotten so many awards. But I told him, I said, the best years of your life are still in front of you. And I feel the same for myself and for you, Kelly. What are your goals? What do you still need to do?
I mean, I can't imagine that any year was better than this year. This was a dream come true, and it ended with Professional of the Year. I mean, I have a lot of dreams still. You have to constantly reset your goals. Otherwise, why is there a point? Well, what's the point of getting up in the morning? I mean, honestly, if I had to set one lofty dream and goal, I would love to be in the Hall of Fame for the LPGA teaching division one day. I mean, I think that would be wonderful. So.
I like it. Well, she put it out there, ladies and gentlemen. So you know it's going to happen. You put it out there. You visualize it. You work hard enough. You know it's going to happen. I can't thank you enough, Kelly Brook. And congratulations on the LPGA Professional of the Year. And we'll visit with you again real soon, I hope. Thanks so much. Kelly Brook, everybody.
Sports Interview with Anne LaGore is brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and the new Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. And they're also producing golf items as well, ball markers, divot tools, all kinds of exciting memories in jewelry. DuneJewelry.com. And Sports Interview with Anne LaGore is brought to you in part by Peak Vision Sunglasses. Zero distortion, unmatched clarity. Change your game. Peak Vision, that's P-E-A-K, vision.com.
Just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne LaGore. So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. You can hear us from anywhere on the planet at 883-WPPB.org, on every podcast, and archived on AnneLaGore.com. And this segment really showcases an organization I've gotten to know that is doing incredible things, the United States Adaptive Golf Alliance, USAGA. Tracy Raymond, who is the chairman of competitions, is here, and Mark Johnson, the advancement director of the USAGA. Welcome, guys.
It's great to be here.
Tell me, let's tell everybody what the USAGA is all about. Mark, how about you?
Okay. The USAGA is a member organization made up of 36 members across the country providing adaptive golf services. We serve all disabilities, anything from limb deficiencies to neurological conditions to visually impaired to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It's all, our organizations, our 36 member organizations across the country, serve all disability types, and our vision is now that now anyone can play golf. So we get people out of bed, get them on the course, and then we run high-level international competitions to allow our athletes to compete at the highest level.
So you are kind of like the umbrella organization for over 30 different organizations, and it's not just amputees, but blind golfers, just a variety of disabilities, correct?
That's correct. We serve all disability types. And what's unique about our organization is we allow our chapters to operate and serve the communities that they serve. So we have the U.S. Blind Golf Association that's part of our organization. They serve the visually impaired. We have people that serve just the specific amputee organizations. We have organizations that serve the majority of what they do, intellectual and developmental disabilities. They operate their unique 501c3s, and we're kind of the umbrella that allows them to have a voice to continue to communicate the need for inclusion and getting people on the golf course with disabilities. So we act as a voice to help promote their organizations.
And Tracy Raymond, who is a leg amputee and chairman of the competitions for the USAGA. First of all, tell everybody your story and how you lost your leg.
Okay. I had a construction business back when I was in my early 20s, and my partner was on vacation here in Florida. A ladder had come untied and rattled off my work truck on I-75 into the slow lane. I got out, I looked, it was clear. Semi passed on the right, and I went to the left lane, actually, and a pickup passed him on the right, and when he did, I was standing in the road picking up a ladder, and he hit me. I flew 120 yards and ripped my leg bones out of my left leg, broke my right leg, severely dislocated my left shoulder where I can only lift it so high now. I had a hole in my side so deep it could fit a baseball, broke my jaw in two spots, head was bigger than a basketball. I lost all my blood plus 2 pints. I was given a 2% chance to live, and was in a coma for a week out of the hospital in 24 days and played golf and a rickety prosthetic 3 months later. So the Lord spared me, and every day is a good day.
And look at your attitude. He's not only playing golf. You played golf before the accident, right, Tracy?
Yeah, I played golf golf before, and I was, you know, a pretty good player, you know, low 80s shooter, and since then, I would have surgery in the winter and work on golf in the summer, and I've been a teaching professional for over 15 years now, and I'm a plus two. I'm one of the top-rated disabled players in the world, and so I play disabled golf all over.
Where were you on Monday when I needed you on my team?
I know, right? Yeah, well, we had a couple of my guys there. Yeah, so we definitely get to be spoiled and play some amazing golf courses. I was actually in Japan here in October and played a disabled event there. And, you know, it's always humbling. I played in a tournament last year in Oklahoma, and I played with a gentleman missing all four limbs, had four prostheses, and shot 84-85. You know, it was pretty humbling to see someone like that.
Wow, but now, so you became a teaching pro, and how do you connect with, you know, people with disabilities and get them to actually be interested in the sport? I know once they kind of get off the sofa and learn the game, it changes their life. But how do you begin the process? How do you get them to get exposed to golf?
I mean, you know, just like most of us, a family friend or, you know, if I see someone walking down the street who has a different ability, I will approach them, you know, and say, hey, have you ever heard of disabled golf? And, you know, many people think, oh, I can't play. And so I'll tell you a little story. I was on an airplane here last year and sitting next to a gentleman. And at the end of the ride, I noticed his left arm has a brachial plexus injury. That means his left arm does not work at all whatsoever. But he still has the arm, but it just kind of dangles there. And we got to talking, and we were standing to wait to exit, and he said, I never can play sports again because of my injury, and he was really just depressed. And I told him about disabled golf and, you know, players in far worse condition than he is and are still able to play, and the whole airplane was, like, super quiet. And after we got done explaining to him and giving him some information, everybody was, like, clapping on the plane, and, you know, and it was just like, wow, you know, pretty humbling because I was just sharing normal everyday stuff to me, but it clearly made it a difference in this guy's life because now he realizes he can still play golf with, you know, as a one-arm player with some top-level players, and life isn't over.
Talk a little bit, and I want you both to answer this question. How, you know, getting connected to the sport has helped, you know, your friends and these people that are taking lessons who would never imagine that they would play golf and then didn't even know the benefits of the game, you know, once they took it up.
Well, I think personally, like, golf is a game of camaraderie. And, you know, it just takes that one good shot to bring you back. But whatever your level of different ability is, you can still play the game of golf. And this is the one sport, no matter, you know, if you're visually impaired or you're a stroke survivor, you can still get back out and play golf, you know, and you may have to adapt to, you know, your new body or adapt to some equipment that's going to be supplied for you for your condition. But I think sometimes just walking in the room, you don't realize who you inspire, you know, and someone may see a person who is missing a limb and think, you know, I can do what they do. You know, this guy is impressive. And so they want to, you know, be a part of what we're doing. And once you, like I said, make that one great shot, you know, it brings you back to the game of golf.
Mark Johnson, the Advancement Director for the United States Adapted Golf Alliance. What about you? I'm sure you've heard stories from how golf has just transformed the lives of so many people who are disabled, so many wounded veterans who are exposed to the game now, and just it's changed their lives and it's impacted their entire families.
It has. We have many of the organizations that are part of our alliance focus solely on veterans, and these are individuals that have given their lives to our country, and they come back from war in a different state of mind. And what we find is that the healing power of golf, the healing power of being out on the course, being out with a golf ball and a golf club in the silence of a fairway, that's a healing to a lot of people. And we've got groups out there that solely focus on our veteran community. And there's all kinds of stories about individual veterans that didn't think that they could ever do this again, and find the healing power and the rehabilitation power of what golf provides.
And I know you are working towards getting golf in the Paralympics. Give us an update on that, and do you feel that it will become a reality soon?
Yeah, we work every day to work towards getting the golf into the Paralympics. We're one of the few organizations in the country that run competitions to allow our athletes to compete at the highest level. And one thing that's unique about our tournaments is that we provide the opportunity for all disability types to participate. So we classify our athletes, we put them in categories to allow them to compete against athletes of similar disabilities, and then as well as to compete for an overall championship. This last year, we ran a tournament in Frankenmuth, Michigan. We had close to 100 golfers from 10 different countries participate in our tournament. And next year, we're running our championship in Las Vegas on October 8th, 9th, and 10th. And we hope to have a greater number of participants and some of the best golfers in the world come to compete for our tournament.
About the people who are, you know, playing these events and what their handicaps are. And, you know, I just saw, you know, we talked to Gianna the other day, the one-handed golfer, and you have, you know, blind golfers. Talk a little bit about some of these players who have just, who are doing extraordinary things. Dennis Walters is, you know, giving clinics continually for over 40 years, you know, with his handicap. And nobody really looks at themselves anymore as having disabilities because they're doing such inspirational, extraordinary things.
Yeah, I mean, unique abilities is probably a better term versus disabilities or different abilities. And there's so many different variations of unique abilities out there. I mean, there's players who are short in stature. There's players who are missing limbs and blind, and everybody has to adapt their unique ability to golf. And they may not be able to play the way they once did, but golf is still available for them to come out and play. And our competitions are about camaraderie. And, you know, we have players who want to play at the highest level. You know, one of our main players is a gentleman named Chad Pfeiffer. And he's an ex-Army veteran. He just played in the Diamond Tour Resorts event with the LPGA last weekend and finished fourth. And he and I were in Japan here recently together. Amazing player and a great advocate for everything we're doing. And but he's, you know, probably, you know, the top one or two, three players in the world. And it's pretty impressive to watch these guys. And, you know, he's playing in tour events on PGA and, you know, and getting some sponsors exemptions, but like he'll be in the Centurion event here coming up in Tahoe in a few months. And so it's pretty impressive to watch, you know, our top athletes excel and to be to the highest level competing with able-bodied players.
I said this the other day when I was doing the interview session in your booth that a couple years ago, some of your players played in a tournament with us with, I think it was with the ING, you know, media group, and we were neck and neck. It was myself and a guy against two personalities who are some of the top players on your, you know, on in your organization. And it was neck and neck, and then it started pouring, and I was all set to kind of go in and wait it out. But these guys wanted to continue playing, and they wanted to, you know, they wanted to kick our butts, basically, is what they wanted to do. So I admire their commitment to the game. I admire their drive and their dedication to learn the game. And what you guys are doing with this organization is very inspirational. Continued success, Tracy and Mark. I appreciate you coming on. And let's continue promoting your incredible organization. Let's hear it for the United States Adaptive Golf Alliance. Thank you so much. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and my guests are the guys from Peak Vision, David Fieser and Nicholas. Hi, guys.
How are you doing, Ann?
Good. How are you doing, David?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah,
You know, it's been a wonderful year as the brand ambassador, full disclosure here, for Peak Vision sunglasses. They've been around, the sunglasses have been around for a number of years, and David and Nicholas took over the company about, what, 2 years ago, David?
This May will be 2 years.
2 years in May, and so, you know, they're going strong. So David's a real, he's been in the sunglass business for over 30 years, and now he's, you know, with Peak Vision sunglasses, and he wants to talk to you about really the technology behind the lenses and what makes them so clear and really almost the perfect sunglass for golfers. So, David, why don't you take it away and talk about, if you want to hold up, you know, a pair of these sunglasses, talk a little bit about the technology of the lens.
I would love to. This lens was actually designed specifically for golf. It is a lens that gives you extreme clarity. And the lens starts off with a 20% gray up top that fades into a high definition 60% amber on the bottom. And that gives you three times the visual information on the green. So it just makes the greens pop when you see them and gives you just a great experience out there on the course to where you can not only have great vision, but you can enjoy the great beauty of the courses too.
And the clarity of the lens is something that, you know, you notice right away when you put on the sunglasses. I know Rory has tried them, and Biggs, and Scotty over here, and Carol. Talk a little bit about, you know, the clarity and the science behind the clarity of the lens.
Yes, the lens material is our proprietary material that only Peak Vision uses, and it is the same clarity as crown glass. So what this comes out to be is it is a minus 52 on the Abbey scale, which is about twice what a regular polycarbonate is in clarity. So it's extreme clarity, and that leads to what was the main reason we got this going was to end distortion in the sunglass lens, because as a lens curves, it will have distortion in it, and that affects your vision. And that is no good when you're trying to judge a golf shot.
Exactly. So a lot of times, you know, you see golfers putting their glasses up on their hats when they're putting. But with the Peak Vision lens, you can actually keep the glasses on while you're putting because it helps cut down glare and it helps you read the contours of the greens.
Yes, you get an impeccable read. This is the only pair of sunglasses that you do not have to take off your head when you putt. And this gives it just such an awesome ability because when you're looking at the green, you see everything about that green. You get a great read. That makes you have a better judgment for your putt.
You know, I think a lot of people out there who wear a polarized lens for golf think that those, you know, wearing polarized lenses is really great for golf. But explain why you really don't want polarized lenses when you play golf. You really want to stick to polarized lenses when you're, you know, on the water or fishing or swimming. Nicholas, do you want to answer that question? Or?
Sure, yeah. So a lot of people get confused on this. Main difference between polarized and non-polarized is polarized flattens your depth of field. So whenever you're on the golf course, this is bad because it causes you to misjudge and misread your putts and your drives. So we recommend polarization for water sports and high glare situations, and then alternatively recommend our regular patented dual zone lenses for the golf course.
A lot of your, obviously you have different styles, David. So talk a little bit about, you're coming out with the LX2 and you have the GX5. That's the go-to golf glass. Talk a little bit about why that style is so good for golfers.
It's basically just a quintessential golf wrap. You have it's a half rimless, which is beautiful, and it gets out your way so that you actually can see your golf shot a lot better. And this fits about 85% of folks out there in the market. So it's a very good fitting glass. It has rubberized earpieces on the temple, very tight fit, rubberized nose piece, so you will not come off while you're swinging.
And then you have almost like a larger wraparound with the LX2s, right?
Yes, that's correct. And then this one right here was brought back from a lot of customers that asked for it. So we brought this and basically remade it. And this is more of a full coverage wrap right here. And it is stylish, very stylish.
And then you have the aviators. I mean, it's just all different styles. So.
Yes.
But you can wear any of the styles for golf or tennis or any of the outdoor sports, right? Is it basically the same lens in every style?
Yes. The same Peak Vision patented lens is in every single style. It's just different upon which style you want for your type of active lifestyle.
So tell me a little bit about your background, guys, because I know you've been in the sunglass business, David, for a long time, and then when you bought the company about, 2 years ago now, when you bought the company 2 years ago, now you're in the golf world, and, you know, you're learning all about golf, and how's the journey been?
Oh, it has been absolutely fantastic. The world of golf has the most gracious people in the entire world. I have never seen an industry that has the type of folks in it that this does. It's absolutely an honor to be part of it, love it, and we're just looking forward to going on for many years.
I know you guys came to my charity. I do a charity golf outing every year in the Hamptons. Last year we were at the Atlantic Club. The year before that, Maidstone. We were at Friar's Head for 3 straight years. This year, the Anne LaGoria Foundation Charity Golf Classic. We raised money for cancer research and cancer prevention, and our tournament this year is going to be Thursday, June 20th at West Hampton Country Club. And Peak Vision does a lot of charity golf fittings. So, Nicholas, why don't you talk a little bit about the program, the charity golf fittings, and what you guys offer in that department?
Sure, absolutely. So, we're very passionate at Peak Vision about giving back to the golfing community, and we want to see change. So we feel that we can do that best through charity. So what we do is we give a discounted rate to charities for our custom fitting experience. We go there and we help. We serve their clientele. We give them a great price on the glasses and really help them bolster their community and the backing behind their charity events. And then that results in larger donations and more money raised to go back and help good causes.
Let's talk about the past year. What were some of your favorite experiences in the past year, David? You've had quite the year.
Oh, I would say eating at these events. Watching all these folks come together with great wealth to support these awesome causes and raise big money for these charities. It's just so fabulous to see hundreds of thousands of dollars raised in one day instead of over months for a charity. And the small donations make all the difference, but these events just really give it a great shot in the arm.
And it's fun when you're going through the goodie, you know, the line of registration at these tournaments and you get all these cool things. And there you have the Peak Vision sunglass stand and you get to pick, you know, one of, what, 5 or 6 styles that you bring to these charity tournaments. And it really makes the golfers' day, and they're giving back to charity. You guys are involved, so it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, we love it because what ends up happening is the golfers get something in their gift bag, which is very unique. We're the only folks on the planet with this lens. It's proprietary, and it really does change the way you look at golf. So it helps the charity, and we get glasses on these folks' heads, so it really protects them too.
Guys were involved in the World AMs last year in Myrtle Beach. Talk about that experience.
Well, that was a great experience. We actually went down there and we did the winning 100 members on the flight, and that ended up getting each one of those folks got a pair of glasses out of that. And it was a wonderful event. The World AM is the largest amateur gathering in the entire world. There's over 4,000 golfers at this, and they do it over 30-some courses in Myrtle Beach, all in about a period of 4 days. So it's a great, great event. You should go check it out if you're an amateur and would like to play in Myrtle Beach.
So if you want to protect your eyes and get a better reading of the contours of the greens, just recap again why you should try a pair of Peaks.
Well, when you try these Peaks, what you're going to get is when Peak Visions are put on your head, it is an aha moment. You will see the course in high definition. You will see life in high definition. It'll become your daily driver. You just won't use it on the course. They're just that good. And it's almost like what I have actually been missing when I'm looking out of my regular sunglasses after you put on a pair of Peak Visions.
All right. Well, David and Nicholas will be here to answer any of your questions. If you want to try on a pair of Peaks, they have a couple right here so you can see what happens when you put them on and see the high definition that they're talking about. So thanks, guys, for coming on the show, and continued success with Peak Vision. It's really been fun working with you guys this year.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. And I talk a lot about visiting Ireland on this show because I've been an ambassador for Ireland for as long as I can remember. And I just love to go and play golf there and to meet all the wonderful people who host us. And the hospitality in Ireland is second to none. So I'm delighted to have our, how many years, John McLaughlin, have you and John Farron and Alan been on this show? You come on the show like every year, and I so appreciate it. And these smiling faces, John's looking at me like, again? John McLaughlin, we'll start with you. He's the CEO of North and West Coast Links Golf in Ireland. And I have to say, every year, John's so gracious. He donates a trip to Ireland at my charity golf event that we auction off, which benefits, Debbie Williams. Hey, baby. It benefits cancer research and cancer prevention. And, John, I can't thank you enough for being involved with my charity event every year and taking such good care of all the people that we send over to your neck of the woods. So tell us a little bit about North and West Coast Links Golf.
Thank you, Ann. Good to be back, and thanks for the invitation. North and West Coast Links Golf, we've been in business for, it's our 30th year on this year.
Wow,
yeah, so
but
we've
you're
been,
only 21, so how is that possible?
Yeah, it's the miracle at Medina, as they say. We've been doing this a long time. We've got a great set of partners in Ireland, and you mentioned that we help you with your charity golf tournament, and that's due to the generosity of the likes of Alan Maloney here from Mount Falcon and John Farn from Ballyliffin. The golf courses jump on board with us and the hotels, and we're able to do something nice for you and for your tournament. Thank you for your all your work over the years for helping put Ireland on the map. We've had a few small tournaments over the last couple of years and another little one happening this year in Ireland, and that'll all help us again as well.
I can't thank you enough for getting involved in the charity event, but so when people come to Ireland, and they always ask me, like, where should we play? And, you know, Ireland obviously is, it's not a huge country, but there's so many golf courses. So I always recommend that they stick to, like, a region. So when they come in and want to play all the great courses in the north and west, where do they fly into, and what is your recommendation as far as an itinerary?
So the main airport in Ireland at the moment is Dublin. We have Belfast and Shannon, but the airlines fly into Dublin. So it kind of starts from there. Ireland is four trips, really. If you want to do all of Ireland, it's four times. Generally, people come in for about 7 or 8 nights, play 5 or 6 rounds of golf. We try not to overload people with golf, even though that's what they want to do, because there are so many other things to do in Ireland. So we have such a rich country for culture and heritage, our fishing and our shooting and just our sightseeing. And people need time to enjoy the 19th hole, and we think we've got the best 19th hole in the world. So we put the itineraries together. We book the golf, transport, accommodations, and all the other delights along the Wild Atlantic Way. We have some great golf courses in our stable, as you know, from Carn in the west of Ireland and Enniscrone, and right through to Donegal, up into Rosapenna, Nairn and Port New and Port Salon. And then Ballyliffin obviously hosted the Irish Open this past year. Great success, and we have the Open Championship in Portrush in Northern Ireland this year. And then when you put that with Castle Rock, Port Stewart, Ardglass, it's a great stable of golf courses, great hotels along the way, and people have a great time when they come.
I so enjoyed hosting the Tourism Ireland night at the Golf Channel the other night, and we were talking about Royal Portrush hosting the Open Championship this July. And, you know, the tickets were sold out months ago, and that's unprecedented. So why do you think that is the case? Alan, maybe you have a good answer for that. I'm going to Alan Maloney from Mount Falcon. Why do you think tickets to the Open were sold out so quickly?
I think so many people even wanted to come to Ireland. Here is a truly, truly global opportunity for them to come for the biggest golf tournament that happens in Europe. The fact that it's happening on the island of Ireland undoubtedly is the attraction, because they're coming to an experience, an event that maybe 70 years ago was there, probably unlikely to come again in the future. It is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And it is the hospitality. It's the people, the character. Port Rush, they demonstrated to everybody that notwithstanding whatever challenges they may have had, they hosted the Irish Open, and they did a considerable job on it the last time. They proved to the world they can do it. So obviously the event's taking place. And I think undoubtedly it's the combination of those two things. Here is a top, top global tournament, the ultimate Open, taking place on the island of Ireland with the charm of the Irish. Who could resist that?
Exactly. Who could resist? That's why open tickets are no longer available, although I guess there are some practice tickets left for the practice rounds, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But then if people come over to watch the Open Championship, you know, can they, John, get tee times to play some of these other courses? And where would you direct them to play as far as the itinerary goes?
Yeah, there are tee times still available, obviously, around the Open Championship. The county of Donegal, you know, we talked about it earlier. Carnin and Escrone have tee times. And as you wind your way around towards Dublin, there are tee times still available. You know, those few weeks leading into the tournament and after the tournament will be busy. So if anybody's interested in doing it, they need to start getting on it pretty quickly. Give us a shout at northandwestcoastlinks.com, and we'll try and help you as best we can.
Always a lot going on in Ireland and Northern Ireland. And John Farron from Ballyliffin, talk a little bit about the year you've had, if you want to kind of move over here. Don't fall off the stage now. I don't want any accidents. John, welcome to the show once again. Talk a little bit about Ballyliffin and all you guys experienced this year.
Yeah, we had a busy year, and thanks for having us back. Always a delight to fulfill this date. Big year with the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open last year in Ballyliffin. The weather was glorious. The TV pictures were fantastic, and the reviews from the players and the spectators, the over 100,000 spectators, was phenomenal news for the club and for the region. And as John has alluded to, you know, the fact that the Open Championship, the biggest golf tournament in the world, is coming to our doorstep this year, further enhances the, you know, how important golf is to the whole development of the North Coast. And this is a really big year for the whole region. And, you know, John's been knocking on doors and promoting the North and West Coast links for, you know, 30-odd years. He may not look like he has that kind of mileage behind him, but believe it or not, he does. But this is, you know, a testament to the hard work that has gone in the likes of Royal Portrush and Ballyliffin. But, you know, John McLaughlin has done wonders for the whole region in terms of profiling us when it wasn't fashionable or profitable, indeed, to profile that region. The peace process has made a massive difference, has allowed us to host events in the region. Thankfully, all that's behind us, and the sun is shining on the north coast of Ireland, and we look forward to a fantastic year again.
I said this the other night at the Golf Channel. You know, it used to be that they'd send me on. I did a lot of TV shows for years on golf courses that Tourism Ireland called hidden gems. And now they're not hidden gems anymore. People know about golf in Ireland, and they're going in droves to play a lot of these courses, and they're driving all over different regions to find these courses and to play them. And there's so much diversity there as far as what you're going to find.
Yeah, you do find that guys have a bucket list to tick off, but oftentimes it is the courses that are off the beaten track that become the most memorable in trips, particularly where there's, you know, member matches or something unique in terms of a pub experience or a restaurant experience. So there's a lot more to see in Ireland than just the top line clubs, and you know, we would regard ourselves as one of those now, but we do realise that people want the Irish experience, and it's important that love is spread throughout the country.
We have to talk to Alan about Mount Falcon, because it's one of my favorite places in the whole wide world. Of course, you opened up your wine cellar to us, so that helped. But talk a little bit about Mount Falcon Estates, where you are and what you offer.
Sure, thanks, Anne. Listen, it was my pleasure to open the wine cellar to you and every other guest that comes to Mount Falcon. Put it this way. We're located in County Mayo on the Western Seaboard. It's a 3-hour drive from Dublin, 2-hour up from Shannon. We act as the accommodation base to the golfers that come to play these hidden gems, as you accurately describe them. And they are. There's a plethora of them. As John said, both my colleague John, they've been promoting them here for years. So I opened up my business 10 years ago now. This is my 10th year coming. And every single year, there are more and more people coming out there, and the word is getting out. And thanks to people like you for giving us the opportunity. And people are coming up there, are getting an experience that is unique. It's a lot more authentic because of the rural, rustic background of the region. Because coming to Ireland is all about engaging with the people. So in Mount Falcon, we have a lovely facility there. We have a boutique hotel, 32 bedrooms in it, whatever selection of lodges I've developed there. And it's ideally located for access to three of these spectacular Lynx golf courses. Enniscrone, which is our nearest one, is only 15 minutes away, 20 minutes most. We've got Carn, otherwise known as Belmullet, the top of Mayo. That's an hour's drive. And we've got Ross's Point, likewise, within an hour. So we act as the accommodation hub for groups of families who want to come, play the three different Lynx golf courses, don't have to pack a bag and move off, which all the golfers don't like doing. And, of course, we also have world-class fishing there as well. So we get a lot of people who love to come and play golf, but also to fish for Atlantic salmon. And we have Ireland's most prolific salmon river that runs through our property. So people can literally come there, play these wonderful, challenging, unique Lynx golf courses and fish all in the one day. And we'll almost guarantee they'll catch fish and our chefs will cook it for dinner. So that's our offering there in Mount Falcon. But we're only part of a, you know, part of a whole jigsaw there that John is responsible for in terms of the marketing here. And as I said, we're grateful for all the opportunities everybody gives us to come over here. And we greatly appreciate the support that people are giving us because there is more and more. And when you factor in the value for money proposition, it is compelling because it's on average probably 30% cheaper than the traditional location down the southwest. So it becomes a compelling argument. So that's what we do, Anna. Thanks for your support and giving us the opportunity to educate people. And I said, anybody who comes there, because there's an extraordinary bond between the countries. And I know you sense this, but maybe your listeners who perhaps haven't been there don't quite get it. There's such an extraordinary bond between Ireland and the U.S., right? Regardless of one's political views and biases, whatever it is, there's a massive amount of respect between the countries. We know at home the opportunities that this country gave our forefathers is not lost on anybody there, and never will be, by the way. So there's an immediate bond, and that notorious Irish hospitality, it's particularly warm when the Americans come there. All they have to do is open their mouths, and they'll find that people will automatically be attracted to them and welcome them there, no matter what. And that's the welcome that we like to extend to everybody.
Wow, how eloquent. That was so beautifully said, Alan. Really, really beautiful. And look, if you haven't been there, you know, put it on your bucket list, right? And there's so many places to see. But in this area where Mount Falcon is and where Ballyliffin is, it's just beautiful beyond. And John, as you say, has done such a great job promoting that area. So, John, how has the show been this week? And, you know, every year it gets bigger and bigger. I'm afraid I'm not going to get tea times anymore. You're doing such a great job promoting, you know, golfing in Ireland and in North and West. So how has the show been? Do you feel that there's been a buzz this year? And what are your observations about, you know, the business of golf?
Yeah, it's been a really, really busy show for us, I have to say. We've had meetings all day yesterday, all day today, and tomorrow again. We pre-scheduled quite a lot of meetings, and then a lot of people just come along to say hello as well. So it's getting busier and busier. You know, we've just had a meeting. I just see Roger Schiffman walking by there, the ex editor of Golf Digest, and you talk about the respect, between Ireland and the U.S. Roger brings a bunch of wounded veterans to Ireland every year, the Fairways for Freedom, and we put together those trips, and we're very welcoming to all our U.S. guests, but especially your wounded veterans. We really like looking after them. They have a great time when they come, and we have another bunch of them coming next September, and we look forward to that. So, yeah, between that and all of the operators we deal with, all of the pros that come over, and you guys from all over the States, we extend a big welcome, and we look forward to seeing you.
How could we resist? I mean, I've been going to Ireland for years, taping television shows on all these hidden gems and, you know, parkland courses, Lynx courses, so inspirational, these courses. And challenging, but, you know, I always say it's the 19th hole. It's the hospitality of the Irish. It's the crack that keeps you coming back. Right, Biggs? You go back every year, I'm sure. And I just can't thank you enough for, I mean, I remember when Dunebeg first opened. I was doing a TV show walking with Greg Norman as he described his design philosophy and then going to the Ryder Cup at K Club and covering the Solheim Cup at Killeen Castle. So, I mean, you know, your country has hosted some of the biggest golf championships on the planet, and but yet it's these, you know, amateur golfers who come over and just have so many, you know, tales to tell when they go back to the States, and it's mostly about the people. So as beautiful as your country is and as wonderful as the as your courses are, it's really the hospitality of the Irish, and it's second to none. So thanks again for sharing your insight on your country, and we're all coming back. We'll see you in July for the Open Championship, and then we'll go on a little trip afterwards and come visit you all. How's that? Thanks so much. Let's hear it for Golf in Ireland, John McLaughlin, John Farron, and Ellen Maloney. Ellen, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Nothing other, Anne, but just to say that anybody coming to Ireland, and particularly this year, because as I said, with the Irish Open having been in Ballyliffin, and this opportunity is going to be the most wonderful opportunity the island has to demonstrate to everybody. And Portrush, having already successfully hosted, they've built that reputation. And I think it's going to be a real unique experience. It's once in a lifetime. And I think if people can get over there, undoubtedly they should come.
And how cool would it be if Rory were to bring home the claret jug again?
We'd be happy enough with any of them to win it, and particularly Shane Lowry, right? So any of them.
Well, thanks again, guys. Look forward to seeing you over there, and continued success. Really enjoyed it. Thank you. My thanks to Michael Wan, LPGA Commissioner, to Kelly Brook, and congratulations once again for being named the LPGA Professional of the Year. My thanks to Mark Johnson and Tracy Raymond from the U.S. Adaptive Golf Alliance, and to David Fieser and Nick Fieser from Peak Vision Sunglasses. And my thanks to John McLaughlin, Alan Maloney, and John Farron from North and West Ireland. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. My thanks to Kyle Lynch in the studio. I'll talk to you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.